It's all about direction. Welcome to Forward Motion with business and life coach, Carmen Carroza. If you want your business to be the best in your industry, or move your career forward, or simply be better prepared for your future, Carmen brings a refreshing view of what coaching is all about, using real-world situations and information, along with expert guests that bring you cutting-edge strategies. They'll help you stay ahead of the crowd in a very competitive environment. Forward Motion will enrich your journey towards extraordinary success. Now with today's Forward Motion strategies, here is your host, business and life coach, Carmen Carroza.
And welcome to Forward Motion. This is Carmen Carroza, your business and life coach, and thank you so much for listening today. We have spent a good portion of the summer so far speaking about entrepreneurship, startups, how to get started, how to create an ongoing firm, and how to be successful at it, how to grow, rather than some of the things we see from startups when we talk to them, and that is that they are not planning properly, they're not getting off the ground in the right way. And you couldn't put a better punctuation mark on that today than have my two guests that are good friends of mine, and they've been on the show before if you're listening, and are experts in the world of entrepreneurship. They had one of the most fantastic and exciting brands out there in the United States and abroad, Barefoot Wines, which I'm sure all of you have heard about. And they did it going through a fascinating journey, which we'll talk about with them as we go on with our discussion with them. But the thing I'd love you to glean from Michael and Bonnie as we have this discussion is really about what they've gone through, their expertise in this, and how they can help you organize your business, get it going, get it rolling in the right direction, and what it takes. Because I'll tell you, it ain't easy. If you read their book, The Barefoot Spirit, which is on Amazon, anywhere wonderful books are sold, you will learn a heck of a lot about what it takes to get your product, your service off the ground, and then the time and effort it takes to get it going, and what the great things you learn, and at the same time, the rewards you get when you put the effort in is something you'll never forget the rest of your life. If you want to join the conversation and get the chance to ask Bonnie and Mike a question, please call us at 888-475-9405, 888-475-9405. Before I bring Michael and Bonnie in, let me just tell you a little bit about them. Michael Houlihan and Bonnie Harvey have spent the last bunch of years actually speaking to entrepreneurial students throughout the country and abroad. Business leaders and professors of entrepreneurship highly recommend them as inspirational speakers, role models, and entrepreneurial thought leaders. Their book, The Barefoot Spirit, which chronicles the history and lessons learned building the popular brand Barefoot Wine, is now required reading at more than a dozen universities teaching entrepreneurship. They pioneered worthy cause marketing and performance-based compensation, which we're going to discuss with them. Their comprehensive view of customer service resulted in the National Hot Brand Award for outstanding sales growth in 2003 and 2004. In 2005, they successfully sold the brand to E&J Gallo. Since then, they have consulted Fortune 500 companies and startups alike. One of their clients just made the 2013 Inc. 500 list of fastest growing companies. Congratulations to them. Michael and Bonnie, so wonderful to have you.
Why, thank you, Carmen. We're delighted to be here.
Always a pleasure. Let me start by, I know you just, Michael had, Michael Elliott, our good friend, had told me you just recently were abroad in Dublin at the ICSB World Conference. Am I correct?
Yeah, it was the World Conference of Entrepreneurships. It was 1,000 representatives from over 80 countries who went to Dublin, Ireland, to hear us speak on this whole matter of entrepreneurship. Now, they are the people who teach entrepreneurship, a relatively new topic to teach, mind you, only about 5 or 6 years old for the majority of schools. And I mean from Asia and Africa, Europe, Russia, all over the world.
Wow.
They were interested in, you know, how we did it.
That's That's really fascinating. And obviously, since that's what our show is really about, is how to get your business off the ground. Tell us a little bit, Michael Bonney, about what you felt kind of their take on view on entrepreneurship in today's environment, you know, the global economic environment. Is it different? Do they feel it's a real challenge? What are some of the takeaways you took from it?
Well, one thing that Michael and I found very interesting was that we heard it from a number of different speakers and a number of different attendees, is they all said that the United States had more entrepreneurs in here, that we had a culture that was, it was very supportive of entrepreneurship, and other countries don't seem to have that kind of culture. They all looked up to the United States for that kind of culture and the fact that we support entrepreneurship here in the States. I found that very interesting.
That is very interesting. Yes, you would think that is something, obviously, that almost anywhere the governments and so on would enjoy or support. But what I take away from that is that we should be very understanding of the fact that there are support groups here in the States and maybe there aren't abroad. Is that part of it, Bonney, that there aren't many support groups out there or coaches that support it?
Well, there's no television shows that talk about entrepreneurship. The role models that they have are not people that are starting businesses on their own. They're teaching it in a number of universities, which I'm really glad to see. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't seem to be a valid option for most people when they're going to find employment, is self-employment.
Yeah, understood. So, you know, as we come here back to the States and look at entrepreneurship, as we know, is actually growing and due to a lot of factors, the economy and unemployment. And what do you guys see out there? You're always speaking to groups, to schools, to audiences who are looking for the expertise you offer. And do you see a difference in age groups over the last few years as far as folks who are starting businesses?
Oh, absolutely. We see several different groups. One group we see are young people. I call them young people, say 18 through 25 years old. Mm-hmm. These are people who really have no intention of pursuing a corporate career with their life. They want to go into business right out of college, and many of them have actually gone into business even before they've graduated. So they're in school to learn what it is that they need to know to be successful in business. Another group of folks that we see out there are people who are C-suiters, basically corporate executives, who have gotten about as far as they can go in their career, and they know that if they don't start their own business, they're not going to go any further. So they're very interested as well in what direction this is going. And, of course, the third group that we see that's very interesting is women. There are more women in the studying entrepreneurship today in the United States than men by about almost 2 to 1.
Wow. We've seen that in some of the statistics I've seen recently of women entrepreneurs is way up there compared to a few years back. And when we look on the I would say, the younger side, Michael, as you're talking about, that 18 to 25, is it the technology that's the driver for them, or is it purely just there's more opportunity of me just running my own business?
Well, it's a couple of things. First of all, during the recession, most of the large corporations outsourced a lot of their middle management work, or they eliminated middle management jobs. Now, middle management jobs used to be the entry level for business grads. So that's one thing that happened. Another thing that happened is the schools of entrepreneurship were graduating folks who couldn't find jobs. And, they were going home and becoming boomerang kids. And they said, well, I don't really have the skill set to start my own business. So now the schools started to feel the pressure. And so they all thought, gee, we've got to have, courses in entrepreneurship if we're going to be staying up with the times. So that was the second change. I think the third change is definitely the technology, the communication, the social networking, and the fact that, you know, we almost deify some of these entrepreneurs like Steve Jobs and what have you, and Wozniak.
Yes, true.
And you know, we have Entrepreneur Magazine, we have Inc. Magazine, we have Shark Tank, and you know, we have movies like Social Network that basically what they do is they make heroes out of folks who start basically with nothing but a good idea and get through it all and prove themselves to be successful. So in America, we're big cheerleaders for that kind of thing. And like Bonnie said earlier, it's not that way in the rest of the world. They're very security oriented. But I think that the recession in America and these other factors have resulted in young people going, hey, you know, maybe I'll be more secure if I'm my own boss.
Yeah, yeah. That's really, it's fascinating to hear the difference in thinking, because that used to be, of course, the thinking here in the States was, you know, you get a job, you work for somebody, and then, you know, maybe some way down the road you may do something like that. But it was about security. That's what mom and dad taught us. And this is kind of the first generation that's kind of changed quite a bit. So it's very interesting to hear. We're gonna come back at the end of our first break with Mike and Bonnie. We're gonna delve into their book a bit because, again, as I said in the opening, it's so interesting to hear, and their story is so compelling of how they started and some of the crazy things that happened at the beginning that got them into their own business. And you never know what's gonna get you to that direction. And once you're there, you got to make it happen, or you shouldn't be there, because we see too many people fail because they're just not doing the right things, and they're not heading the right direction. And it really becomes an issue of you persevering and looking for support and looking for help, like people like Bonnie and Mike who are out there that will help you get to where you need to go. And too many of folks are out there really struggling, trying to find their own way, and think that's the only way to do it, and get ego and pride get in their way. But we're going to come right back and talk about the barefoot spirit and what it really takes to get that business going with Bonnie and Mike in just one moment. You're listening to Forward Motion.
Business and life coach Carmen Carozza will return in just a moment. If you're ready for a big change in your work, your career, your happiness, your life, it's time for the Million Dollar Mindset with Marla Tabaka. Monday afternoons at 2, 1 Central on TogiNet.com. Marla believes that with the right mindset, anything is possible. Join us as successful life coach Marla Tabaka inspires you and her clients to explore, discover, and live your dreams by developing what she calls the Million Dollar Mindset. Marla will inspire you to take action on your dreams and reveal secrets to success that will help you realize your own unique power. Tune into the Million Dollar Mindset for heartwarming stories with Marla Tabaka. Learn tips and tricks to building a successful business and unlock the secrets to creating a happier, more balanced life through abundant thinking and attraction power. For more information on the Million Dollar Mindset, go to our website, marlatabaka.com. That's MarlaTabaka.com. It's the Million Dollar Mindset with Marla Tabaka. Monday afternoons at 2, 1 p.m. Central on TogiNet.com. In today's business world, a helping hand or idea that doesn't come with an invoice is a treasured find. And if that happens to you, then you need to pay it forward to keep other entrepreneurs from making mistakes or getting a raw deal. It's called Paying It Forward with Josephine Girasi, Wednesday mornings at 10, 9 a.m. Central. Josephine is going to have the guests describe their accomplishments, the lessons they've learned, both good and bad, and then sharing those pieces of knowledge as we create a movement of paying it forward. For more information about Josephine, her business, and background, you can go to mymomknowsbest.com. Josephine Girasi has always been a problem solver. She saw this need and has turned it into a movement. It's Paying It Forward, with tips, tools, and advice, and hard lessons learned. These pieces of knowledge can make a huge difference for you, your business, and others. So join us for Paying It Forward with Josephine Girasi, Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m., 9 a.m. Central, on TogiNet.com. Welcome back to Forward Motion with your host, Carmen Carroza.
And welcome back to Forward Motion. I have with me my two good friends and the wonderful entrepreneurial experts, Bonnie Harvey and Michael Houlihan. They're the founders of Barefoot Wine. And you can learn a heck of a lot more about them at their websites, barefootwinefounders.com. And you'll find their blog. You'll find out how you can find out more about speaking opportunities. They can come to your corporation, to your business, to your school. Just get on the information from MDE at thebarefootspirit.com. And you can get a hold of my friend Mike Elliott and get a hold of Mike and Bonnie to work your event or be at your school or work with your corporation. Bonnie, let me ask you a question. The beginning of the book, The Barefoot Spirit, some of the wonderful interactions you had with people that kind of got you to get the business started. Can you tell us a little bit about that very beginning of how that all happened?
Well, what it was an opportunity that was presented to us, and that's really exciting because we have opportunities every day, everyone does, and it's a matter of whether we take advantage of them or not. And we had a big opportunity. I had a client that was not paid for his grapes for 3 years, and it was a considerable sum of money. I asked Michael to try to collect it. He went to the winery that owed the funds, and they were in the process of going bankrupt. There was no money to be had. So that was the danger opportunity position that we had ourselves in. Michael was able to negotiate a trade for bulk wine and bottling services, which got us a little closer to the money, but not a lot. So we were able to get some wine, bottle it up, then we had to come up with a label, and we had to get all the licenses that were required. And most important of all, we had to find a market. We had to find a way of selling it. So with that as an opportunity, we set about to change this debt and bottling services and bulk wine into cash to pay my client back and hopefully put some money in our own pockets. So we went about asking questions, and we asked a lot of people questions, and not just people that were in the offices, but people that were on the street. We like to say make friends with people in low places, people with dirt under their fingernails, people that are out there really getting the nitty-gritty work done. And we learned a huge amount, and we used all the things that we learned in our packaging and in our marketing and in our sales strategy. And that's really the reason why Barefoot was successful, was because we were asking a lot of questions of a lot of different people.
That is such a great point. And, you know, for those who don't know, you guys started basically in a laundry room. And, again, this opportunity came about. You took advantage of it. And you started the business. Now, when the point you just made, Bonnie, was the fact that you asked a lot of questions, and I think that is something that's a great opportunity for people to learn something here, and that is not to just stay kind of within yourself, if you will. A lot of folks I see, and I'm sure you see the same thing with entrepreneurs, they get so caught up in thinking they have to do everything themselves, they have to make all the decisions, they have to have all the expertise out there. I'm sure, is that one of the things you learned right off the bat, was you need some help?
Oh, absolutely. What you want to do is do what you do best and hire others to do the rest. It's impossible to do everything and do it well. And learning how to hire the right people and giving them permission to make mistakes, because mistakes are going to be made, and to contribute their best efforts to the program, that's a real key to success.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, talking about partnerships, you guys worked that out so well, so perfectly, taking advantage of Mike marketing, sales, kind of the marketing and sales guy, and you were taking care of keeping the place running. You know, Bonnie, with all the back office work and working with all your vendors and partners. Mike, tell us some of the things you went through. I know some of those stories are, they crack me up at the beginning of things you went through. I know when you get that rainstorm and everything was flying all over and you're trying to get into the Piggly Wiggly, those kind of things. Tell us a little bit of some of the tactics you used at the beginning to get into some of the markets you wanted to get into.
Well, you know, a lot of people who start businesses, and we're guilty of this too, have an idea in their head, a preconceived notion about what that job is going to be. You know, if they think they're going to sell pies, they think, oh, I need a baking oven and I need a place to make the pies. Well, what we found out and what most people find out once they get into businesses, it's all about sales. Because if you can't make a sale, it doesn't matter if you have all that production equipment. And so what I found out was that I very quickly had to get out of the office and into the field and, like you say, go out there in the rainstorms and, you know, basically beg people to buy my product, and in the process learn a lot about selling and learn a lot about the environment. When I first went out there, I thought, well, you know, we've got gold medal winning wine. You know, it's $5 a bottle. Why shouldn't they buy it? You know, it's got a cute label and all this. And then after I'd been doing that for about a year, I realized that the best salesperson was the assistant buyer and that I needed to do more listening than talking. And I needed to find out what these buyers had in mind for their own operation and how our product could fit into it. And so that was humbling. And, you know, you have to kind of eat your ego and you have to get in there and you've got to start dealing with people like you're their helper and not like you're selling them something. So this was a big wake-up call for me personally, and I had a lot of experiences that you can read about in the book where I did just that. I mean, I was down on my hands and knees putting bottles on the shelf in a grocery store. And, you know, I'm a college-educated guy and, you know, like to think that I can figure out what's going on. But, you know, here a year into it, I'm doing this actual physical work. And why? Mm-hmm. It's because no one else would do this physical work.
That's such a great point, and I laugh because I get this from entrepreneurs quite a bit, and that they say, "Well, I need somebody to do this, or I need somebody to do that." So you're going to have to do some of this stuff, you guys. And that's, I think, of part of the vision and of the understanding when you go in as an entrepreneur is you're going to have to do whatever it takes. And it's not, you know, it's kind of the upper echelon work. I like to do this, or I like to do this. There's a lot of things you may not want to do or like to do, but you better learn to do them. Or you're not going to be successful. Now, Bonnie, you were on the other end. You were working with vendors when money was tight and so on. Tell us some of the things you had to do to keep the business rolling.
Well, you know, Bonnie used to call me up and she'd say, you know, I need another miracle this month. I gave you a miracle last month. And she said, no, I need $30,000 right now, or we're going to go out of business. So I learned about how to use our buyers and our vendors as bankers. And so what that really is all about is to identify and bond with your strategic partners. Now, for instance, in our business, we're selling wine. Well, you would think that the most expensive part of that package is the wine. Well, it turns out that the most expensive part is the glass, and because it's heavy. And the glass at our price point was just the same price as if it was $90 a bottle. So here we are selling $5 a bottle of wine. The glass costs us just as much. The corks, the labels, the foils. But we thought about it, and it dawned on us that, you know, we did have strategic partners who were suppliers, because if we were successful, we were going to sell a heck of a lot more glasses, corks, and foils than those $90 bottles we're going to sell, because we're going to sell a lot more. So one of the things we discovered, which is, who are your strategic partners? And we worked with these people, and we treated them just like they were part of our company. And we would meet with them on a regular basis, and we'd tell them what our problems were. You know, Bonnie, what would you do when you ran out of money?
Oh, well, that happened a lot. I would take a look at the cash flow report, and I'd see that I had more payables than I had receivables. And I could see this several weeks in advance. So when I owed the glass company a serious amount of money and I wasn't able to pay them because I didn't have the receivables coming in, I would give them a call and I'd say, I know I owe you $40,000 in 3 weeks and I'm not going to be able to pay it on time. I'm very sorry. But I wanted to call you now because I know that you're relying on this payment to make your own bills.
Sure.
And I've got to give you a heads up on it. But I do have checks coming in 4 weeks and 5 weeks, and they will cover the amount of money that I owe you. And they said, wow, usually we have to call people after they're late, and you're calling us 3 weeks ahead of time. Well, we appreciate this. We really want to do more business with your company, so we're going to extend your line of credit. Imagine that. I had my line of credit extended when I was late on my payment.
Really?
By being honest.
That's,
by putting yourself in the
other
guy's shoes. It's by caring about the guy and being upfront with him and giving him fair warning.
I think that the lesson here is empathy. Empathy for your buyers, empathy for your suppliers, you know, empathy for everybody that you're doing business with. In other words, what is their interest? How does it look from their side?
That's such an excellent point, and I think that's probably missed quite a bit with entrepreneurs who are thinking more along the lines, how do I hide? How do I get away with this? How do I? And instead, if you're upfront and honest, it not only gives you let you breathe, because other folks are, you know, they're either going to help you or they're not going to help you, but at least you know where you stand. And I'm sure there was times when you felt like, geez, God, these guys are kind of at their wit's end, but being honest with them, being forthright. And then at the same time saying, hey, you know what, doesn't mean we're not paying you. Just, here's what we can do, though. And give them that pure honesty is so supportive and helpful of everybody around. So that's a great takeaway, because I think that's something that's obviously missed because it's said much fear. You know, we're going to talk about that word fear when we come back from the break, because it's probably one of the biggest components that stops those from doing the right thing sometimes. And it's not out of not wanting to. But it's really out of, gee, what if, you know, all the what ifs that they get caught up in. And if I do this, are they going to stop sending me product, or are they going to stop working for me, or, you know, is my marketing company going to just shut their doors on me because I can't make a payment, or I'm a little tight this month. And it's such an interesting topic, because it's not only important, but it can keep you alive or be the end of your business. So when we come back with Bonnie and Mike, we're going to talk a little bit about the fear topic and how they got past some of those moments, along with some other aspects of their book, to the point of when they actually made a sale, which is something that, you know, could happen when you don't want to do it, or it could happen when you that's your goal. And we'll be right back before motion and continue with Bonnie and Mike.
Business and life coach Carmen Carrozza will return in just a moment. Finally, a show that supports women who are in the midst of a transition in midlife. The show is Second Wind. Here's what certified coach, author, and host of Second Wind, Joyce Buford, wants you to know.
It's so empowering for women to hear about other women and their accomplishments.
We all need cheerleaders, someone who's on our side.
Second Wind is that program to help women connect with other women, hear other women's stories.
In a stressful world.
Find power in those stories.
Learn to discover your passions and joys again. Create the life you want to live to the fullest. Join us for Second Wind with Joyce Buford, Tuesdays at 9 a.m. Central, right here on the TogiNet Radio Network. Are you fascinated by the stories behind the stories? The people behind their masks? The truth about people's failures and redemptions? In both their business and personal lives. Then Off the Record Secrets Of with host Judy Schreiner is for you. It's people's secrets that make them interesting, but very few folks are willing to reveal them unless they trust that their information will be treated with accuracy, fairness, and respect. People have been entrusting their secrets to longtime business journalist Judy Schreiner for the last 25 years, and now she's bringing her expertise and impressive contact list. Tune in and call in as host Judy Schreiner talks to guests off the record as they reveal new secrets each Tuesday at noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central. Welcome back to Forward Motion with your host, Carmen Carrozza.
Welcome back to Forward Motion. I have with me my good friends, Bonnie Harvey and Mike Houlihan. They are the founders of Barefoot Wine, and they can be found online at barefootwinefounders.com. You can visit their blog, look at opportunities for speaking engagements and lots of other information about them and what they can offer to your business or to your school. And again, they have a great book that really is a must to me for anybody who's going to start their thoughts of becoming an entrepreneur. That's The Barefoot Spirit, and find it on Amazon. But order it, because just it's a great book to read. It really tells their story, as we're talking about it here. But you really need to read it to get all the bits and pieces and details. Let me ask a question. You know, we often hear the fear factor with an entrepreneur once they hit a certain point. You know, those, especially their first obstacle that they really hit, might be money. It might be with their in their planning stage. It might be an opportunity to grow. How do you guys talk to an entrepreneur who has those fears, you know, kind of the what if kind of fears? What are some of the things or strategies you could tell them to get past that?
Well, first of all, fear isn't necessarily a bad thing. It keeps us mm-hmm. alert. It keeps us looking for opportunities. Mm-hmm. We're not going to kind of have our eyes closed and be snoozing when something comes by that we can really take advantage of. So fear isn't such a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Another thing is what young entrepreneurs are most worried about are two things. They're worried about not having enough knowledge of the industry they're going into, and they're worried mm-hmm. about not having enough money.
Yeah, now, yeah.
Michael and I started without any money and with no knowledge of the industry, and grew one of the fastest growing brands in the nation, and Barefoot Wines is now number one in the nation. So it can be an advantage.
Right. You have to kind of run with it, though, right, Bonnie? I mean, you guys, you really took that and said, hey, you know, we don't have knowledge, a heck of a lot of knowledge. You were in the industry, but you weren't, you know, have a heavily knowledge understanding of it. And at the same time, didn't have somebody say, here, I'm going to hand you all this money to start the business. So what was it that said to you, hey, we can do this anyway?
Well, we had both been in business before, so we did have some good business sense. And I think what really helped us the most was our guiding principles for success, GPS. It's what do you rely on when you don't know what's ahead? And, of course, nobody knows what's ahead. So we've got certain principles that we rely on. And it's based on put yourself in the other guy's shoes. It's based on the golden rule. Mm-hmm. And understanding that when things happen, you've got these principles that you can go back to and read them over. It's best to write them down. Mm-hmm. And then you understand that you're not out there just flying blind, but you've got some things that that you live by. And that always mm-hmm. helps you out when there's the big fear factor is the unknown.
Yes.
So
yes, that's yep. Go ahead, Michael.
What we like to say is, you know, that big scary tunnel you guys are just about ready to go into, well, we just came out of it. And we don't have all the answers, but we have most of the questions. And what we found is that you need to have a flashlight, a compass, and a hard hat. And what are those things? Well, those are how you deal with people, you know, how you look at situations. You know, does fear make you more alert and, as Bonnie says, look for opportunities? Or does fear blind you to the point where you say, I probably won't see the answer to this? If you start having negative self-talk about the outcome of a situation, you may be looking right at the solution right in your face and not see it. So the first thing we have to do is to eliminate the negative self-talk aspect of fear. So fear's a good thing as long as we don't beat ourselves up about it. So the other thing that we have to remember about fear is that it's okay to go out there and make a mistake. So you're going to mitigate your fear a little bit if you say, well, you know, I don't know if this water's cold. I don't know if it's deep. I don't know what the current is like, but I'm jumping in. See, so now you're in it.
Okay, yeah.
So now you are much better off than you were when you were on the side, because now you actually understand what's going on with the water. And you'd be surprised how fast, I like to say, it's amazing how fast you can learn how to dance, Carmen, when somebody's shooting at your feet.
Yeah, right. You're absolutely right, Michael. It's a great point. It's just go, and then you know you'll figure it out, and head in that direction. Think positively, and don't get caught up in the gunk, if you will. I want to talk about Mike as we're talking about this. You guys pioneered worthy cause marketing, it's again fascinating to read about how that all started in the book. But if you could just talk about that a little bit, because most people don't know what it is, and I'd love you to chat about it.
Well, like most businesses, one of the biggest hidden costs is the cost of getting the word out on your product. You can have the greatest product in the world; it's going to sit in your barn because nobody knows about it. Mm. You can put it in a store, and they'll walk right by it, and they won't buy it because nobody knows about it. Well, the stores pretty much say, well, I won't put your product in unless you advertise it. And even if you're selling on the internet or whatever, at some point you have to get the word out about your product. So we didn't know how to do that. We couldn't afford advertising. We just didn't have the money for it. And so this is, again, one of the advantages of being broke, is that if we weren't broke, we would have never stumbled on Worthy Cause Marketing. So basically what happened is we had a big supermarket say, well, I'll put your product in if you spend $200,000 on advertising. And we said, well, we don't even have one of those $200,000. So the next thing that happens is we get a call from this guy, and he's in a neighborhood group, and he says he would like us to donate $50,000 to buy money for swings and slides for a kid's park to take care of the kids after school. And even though we really, had a heart for what he was trying to do, we had to ask him, are you sure you have the right number? Because we don't even have one of those $50,000.
Right.
But we do have a lot of wine. And so what we'll do is we'll give you some wine, and you can use it. You can auction it off. You can pour it at your dinner. Who knows, maybe somebody will write you a bigger check. Well, he was a little disappointed he didn't get the money, but he was quite happy to get the products. So we didn't hear from him again, but we noticed that the sales, and this is what was important, of our product in the neighborhoods that surrounded where his fundraiser took place took off. And they were pretty flat in the rest of the city, but in that neighborhood, our sales were really zooming. And we realized that what had happened was we had actually used a network that already existed, which was this nonprofit organization, and we had and endeared ourselves to these people by supporting their cause. And then they had a social reason to buy our product. They could have bought any product in
that
category,
sure,
which happened to be wine, but they chose ours because they said, look, these guys supported us at our fundraiser. So that's how we learned how to use what we call worthy cause marketing instead of advertising to get the word out. And we recommend this to a lot of people who are starting business today, is to think of their customer as more than a person who has mercantile interests. Think of their customer as a person who has social interests. Find out what those social interests are and find out how you can help them. The result might be that you get a very loyal customer and for a whole lot less money than it would cost you to advertise.
Yeah, that's it's such a great opportunity, again, to open, the creative mind instead of, again, when we think of marketing, the first thing everybody says to me is like, well, what's it going to cost and how much do I have to spend? So, again, to think out of the box and be a little more opportunistic and, again, talk to people and see what the opportunities are. You never know when you ask a few questions of somebody what may open their mind up to an opportunity to do something a little different rather than the traditional methods that are out there. Another piece that I wanted to talk about to you guys was, working with your folks, customer service and how you worked with your employees, your team. And again, you really differentiated yourselves by looking at it from a performance level and what you expected and what they expect from themselves. Can you guys talk about that a little bit too?
Well, it's really important to understand how to hire people. We say hire good people, build great people. Mm-hmm. When we're hiring people, they have to be team players. We're looking for people that have hustle, integrity, and enthusiasm. You can teach them the skill set.
Right.
But what you really want to do is understand you've got somebody that you can rely on, somebody that cares about some of the same things that you do. And also that we had a two-division company. We had sales, and we had sales support. Mm-hmm. Now, mm-hmm. everyone that was in sales support had to support the sales. I mean, why would you have a winery or a production company if you don't have any sales? It just never made sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
So we really made sure that everyone understood that the dollar came from sales and that mm-hmm. the entire company was based on supporting the sales that our salespeople were out there making. Mm-hmm. Another thing is we would pay for performance. When you pay for performance, then once again, the dollar that the employee is putting in their pocket comes from a sale. Mm-hmm. All bonuses should be based on sales, growth, and profits, not tenure. When you've got that kind of an attitude, the non-producers can't afford to stay, and producers can't afford to quit.
Right. That's a great methodology. And, you know, I was in corporate America for 25 years, and that was almost the opposite, if you will, a lot of the time. Folks who were terrific service people. You know, I was in the banking business, and we had a couple of tellers that were just so wonderful. And customers came in, they'd said, I come in because of that teller. But yet, our hands were kind of, you know, locked up at that point. You couldn't pay that teller anymore because they were, you know, topped out, if you will. And it was like, wow, so frustrating to say, wow, this person keeps customers, avoids attrition, and supports the business to the best of their ability, yet you can't really compensate them. And that's the way sometimes corporate America works. And it's really a frustrating piece when you're in there as a manager and know, hey, these are the people that I'd value more than some of these other folks. So, you know, to what you're saying is absolutely the truth and should be really looked at by a lot of businesses out there as a model.
Highest expenses that any business can have. So it's very important to find people and have them be happy in their positions and make sure they understand how to work together as a team. Turnover can be devastating, particularly in a small company.
Yes. That's for sure. That consistency, the culture, the brand, all depend on some consistency, and that's absolutely the truth. And you guys figured that out. We're going to come right back on the other end here on Forward Motion with Bonnie and Michael, and we'll see you in just a second.
Business and life coach Carmen Carozza will return in just a moment. LinkedIn. It's a great tool and a great way to do business in today's social media-driven world. And Carol McManus is the LinkedIn Lady with the LinkedIn Lady Show, Tuesday and Wednesday afternoons at 4 p.m. Eastern on allbusinessradionetwork.com. The LinkedIn Lady Show is designed to inform, inspire, and educate businesses. Every social media site has a specific demographic, personality, and purpose. And the LinkedIn Lady will interview a variety of guests, such as business owners who can showcase their business and talk about how they use social media, such as Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Google+, Pinterest, and of course, LinkedIn. For more on Carol and the show, check out her website, LinkedInLady.com. As trends change and new applications become available, the LinkedIn Lady Show will bring that information to you in an easy-to-use, fun, and engaging way. Every Tuesday and Wednesday afternoons at 4 p.m. Eastern, it's the LinkedIn Lady Show with Carol McManus on AllBusinessRadioNetwork.com.
As a member of the baby boomer generation, you want insights and ideas that factor into planning for, making choices about, and activating your new or mothballed dreams. As a boomer, you can learn how to act on your visions by tuning into the Awakening to Awareness show on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern. If you are inspired to follow your own path, step into new directions, and are excited about what you, as a recent or soon-to-be retiree, can do with your life, this is your show. Listen to the show that focuses on self-belief and possibilities for emerging seniors who look forward to life's third act with dread or amazing promise. Host Eric Tonigson and his guests share entertaining ideas and explore strategies to reignite your passions and shift your intentions into action. In his naturally curious and motivating ways, Eric explores personal values, shares wisdom, and encourages you to unlock and live your potential and purpose. Join Eric and his Awakening to Awareness show on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on the TogiNet Talk Radio Network. Welcome back to Forward Motion with your host, Carmen Carroza.
And welcome back to Forward Motion. And I have with me my good friends, Bonnie Harvey and Michael Houlihan, with the founders of Barefoot Wine. Find out more about them on barefootwinefounders.com and their blog, and a lot more information. And of course, their book, The Barefoot Spirit, which you can find on Amazon and on their website. Question, you guys, we were just talking about customer service and performance management and of your folks. And one of the things that statistically we see a lot is disengagement by employees. And I just wanted to talk to you guys as experts in this area. You know, they say the numbers are 75-80% of employees out there are disengaged, which is completely horrible, but that's what it is. We know there's a lot of factors out there from an economic perspective and unemployment perspective. What did you guys take on, you know, what companies can do to kind of get people back into the fold, if you will, and have them, you know, work smarter and get more engaged with their company?
Well, I think the first thing that you have to do is you have to have a positive company culture.
Mm.
You know, all company culture comes from the top. So if you're the entrepreneur, you know, you're responsible for your company culture, you know, just like you're the father of the family or something.
Mm-hmm.
And what really does create a positive company culture? It's a couple of things. It's three things that we think are really important. Number one is permission. You have to give people permission to come up with new ideas, permission to come forward with problems, permission to be creative, permission to maybe change their job and make it more relevant to their skill set. Validation, that's the second one. Validation means that you say, yes, that's right, you did it right. You know, that's exactly what I'm looking for, as opposed to just sitting back and not commenting when a person does a good job. And then acknowledgement. Now, acknowledgement is taking validation a step further, because now you're going public with it. And you say, you know, Janie did a great job this afternoon, the way she handled this customer. Here was the situation, and here's what she did. And this all has a reflection on our bonuses and what the company's making. So you bring it right down for people. So you want to be sure that you've got a positive company culture, and that has a lot to do with having fun. The second thing that you have to do is give people a reason to come to work that is beyond what it is that you're producing or what you're manufacturing. In other words, is where you are providing employment making the world a better place? When I'm an employee working for you, do I think, well, I'm going to work and I know that this company stands for more than the mercantile product that they're selling, because I see how they are using it to help others. I see how that the way that they're sourcing their materials and whatnot, and the way that they are producing this product, is going to make the world a better place. So that's the second thing. And I think the third thing, and we spoke about this before, is paying for performance. If somebody is doing the same job you are and you're not getting a raise, you're more than likely to leave your company to get paid for what you're worth. So don't let that happen in your company, because, as Bonnie says, turnover is the number one cost that businesses are faced with. And you'll never see a line on a business plan that says turnover $1 million in the first 5 years.
Right, exactly. You know, you mentioned just the topic I wanted to kind of end with, Mike, and that's business planning. Because as we know, entrepreneurs are you know, they're one of the things they miss most is proper planning at the beginning, middle, or an end. And you know, what is your take on putting a plan together when you're starting a business?
people seem to want to grow quickly, and that's a good thing. But when you're growing faster than you're learning your industry, then that creates a problem. As we said before, you're going to go out there and you're going to make mistakes, and that's fine. It's all part of learning. But you want to be able to make a mistake in a territory that you can get to so you can make up for that mistake. Like, we're here on the West Coast. I don't want to start a business in New York if I don't know what I'm doing, so I've got to fly over there to try to make up for the mistake. I'm going to keep it local. I'm going to keep it in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I'm going to learn how to deal with my retailer, how to deal with my distributor, how to deal with my own staff, and how to deal with the end user and my community in an area that's easy for me to get to. I'm going to be excellent. Then I'm going to take my show on the road. So growing slowly is one of the most important things.
Another thing that I'd like to add to that is...
Yes, Mike.
Start with the end in mind. In other words, why am I doing this? You know, am I doing this because I can't get a job and I want to build a job for myself, in which case you're giving up an 8 to 5 for a 5 to 8? Or do you say, oh, I'm doing this because my kid is going to take care of me in my old age? Well, good luck with that. Or are you saying, I'm doing this because I want to build a business that has a value and I want to monetize on that value either because somebody buys my business or because somebody merges with me or because I go public, but there is some kind of a capital event that takes place. And if that's why you're doing it, and we think that that's the only reason to go into business, then you're starting with the end in mind. And so you have to ask yourself, what does the acquirer want to see? You know, and how big do I have to be before I become an acquisition target? In other words, all your strategy for how you grow and your marketing and planning should really root all the way back to that fundamental question, which is, who are the top five people who could buy this business and why would they buy it?
Yeah, great. Again, great point. That really brings it down to the, you know, simplistic level of, you know, as we always tell entrepreneurs, you know, why are you in business? What are you doing? What is it you're performing for the public and your target audience? And what value do you bring? So just you guys bring up some such key topics. If I were to ask you, you know, as we close, you know, if there was one tip to those who are out there saying, hey, you know what, I want to start up a business. I'm listening to Bonnie and to Mike. What would you say number one thing to do before they get started or what to think about before they get started?
A lot of people think that if they're going to produce a product, they need to have a production company. For instance, we had one of the fastest growing wines in the nation. We did not have a vineyard. There was plenty of grapes that were being grown. Not all the grapes were being sold. We could access that. Somebody else could do it. We did not have a production company.
Wow.
We did not have a winery. There was lots of wineries that could bottle for us. They could learn all about what it takes to keep the bottling line running. They could learn all about what it takes to get the job done, and they could pay all the employees while they were learning and while they were doing this, whether or not they had sales. Well, we couldn't afford to do that, so we had other people do those things. This is outsourcing. So
yeah,
you want to look
at
what kind of outsourcing you can do. You want to outsource everything you can except quality control, sales, and accounting. And if you can do that, you'll find it's not going to take you as much money, time, and energy, and knowledge to get started in your industry as you may have thought.
No, that is such an excellent point. I thank you so much for that thought because that is really helpful, I think, to folks out there who are thinking about starting a business. I love having you guys on. I thank you so much for being here with me because you really teach and help support those out there because you make it simple and you really bring it down to their level of they folks out there can understand of folks starting a business in business already and say, what does it take me to get to that next level? You know, Bonnie Harvey, Michael Houlihan, the founders of Barefoot Wine. Find out more about them at barefootwinefounders.com and learn all about what they can do for you and your business. Thank you so much, Michael and Bonnie, for being here, and promise you'll come back.
Absolutely.
We would love to, Carmen. Thank you.
I always appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for being with me. Those two people are just so wonderful. I love having them on the show. They've been on a couple of times, and they are just so so down to earth and fascinating at the same time, of, you know, their thought pattern, how they got things going, then their own, get the Barefoot Spirit is their book. Pick it up because it's really a text on excuse me, how to find out how to get your business off the ground and some of the obstacles you're going to face and how to get past them. Because in business, as in life, it's all about how you get past things. You know, you can make things end your business and make your life a catastrophe and become real problems for you, or you can look for solutions and you can look for help and you can look for support. And as Bonnie so eloquently put this about, look for, you know, the outsource, look for folks who can help you. And that is so important in business as in life, you know. Sometimes we just struggle trying to do things ourselves, or, you know, keeping things close to the vest. We don't want people to know stuff. You know what? You could fail just doing all those things, or you can be successful by getting support and help and asking questions and thinking out of the box and being creative and saying, hey, you know what? I need some people here who can really help me get to that next level. How can I do that? And what can they do to help me? And find them. You know, people just don't appear in your door, knock on the door and say, hey, I'm here to save your business, or I'm here to help you. You're going to have to find them. And it means going out there, networking, online, support, look for folks, call people, talk to them, you know, face to face, and just get some more information and see who you click with. Sometimes you click with somebody and suddenly they may be a great supporter of yours, or know somebody who can be a great supporter of yours. So it's really important to not just kind of stand still or kind of stay in your own box where you are kind of looking at the same things, finding out the same things, doing the same things, and not really learning what you can do to get ahead, to build your business, to get further on down the road. And that's really key elements of a business owner. Remember, there's elements of an owner, and that's perseverance. It's thinking out of the box. It's never stopping. It's never saying no to yourself and saying, hey, I'm going to make this happen. That's what a small business owner, an entrepreneur, a startup company does. Don't put blockades in front of you. And that's what it's about. So I want to again thank Bonnie Harvey and Michael Houlihan for being on the show. They're always terrific guests. And, you know, as we continue during the summer on really entrepreneurship, on startups, on how to get your business rolling, whether you're whatever part of the business cycle you're in, that's what we're about. And you can always get a hold of me, Carmen, at fmbcoaching.com, forwardmotionbusinesscoaching.com, but fmbcoaching.com. And I'll be glad to answer your questions, send my ebook. Have a great week, and we will see you next week on Forward Motion.
Next week at the same time, I invite you to join with Business and Life Coach Carmen Carroza on Forward Motion.